Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
We have to keep asking ourselves, folks, as we fight to save our nation from the socialist leftist of our government, why we have allowed this. We have an election coming. What needs to be done is the liberal socialists that are in charge now and in our offices around the nation need to be all voted out of office. They won't be, but they should be. And this includes the Republicans who will not, who follow right along with them on the left. They have to go too. And here is what we have, what we need to do to save this great nation. And that is what my show is all about tonight. Welcome to the show.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he can't.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
As one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
President Joe Biden, with his executive order on abortion, isn't telling the truth about what the Supreme Court's order overturning Roe v. Wade means, Representative Ralph Norman said on Friday on Newsmax. It doesn't ban abortions, and this is exactly what I've been saying all along. But this was said by the South Carolina Republican, and he said it on Newsmax's American Agenda of the Supreme, and he's talking about the Supreme Court order. He said, quote, it returns it to the states. And the last time I checked, these states formed the federal government, not vice versa. So the misinformation that he is putting out there and that he is perpetrating is completely backwards. For him to make these statements is incendiary. It's wrong. Roe should never have been passed 49 years ago anyway, unquote. Biden, while announcing the executive order, said the measures are intended to mitigate potential penalties that women seeking abortion may face, but acknowledged his office has limitations and that it would require action by Congress to restore access to abortion in the states where bans or limits have taken effect after the Roe ruling. But Biden, with his executive order, is trying to legislate by fiat, said Norman. It's misleading, and it's a shame that this president, despite all of his other problems in this country with the economy and other things, is just misleading the American people, he said. It shouldn't happen. Norman on Friday also discussed the ongoing revelations concerning Biden's son, Hunter Biden, including a leaked email the president left for his son about his overseas business dealings after denying discussing his ventures with him. Biden's lied about this all along. He knew exactly what his son was doing, and he has always known what his son was doing. But on this one, Norman accused the mainstream media of ignoring the story and being in the pocket of this corrupt administration. The press has not covered anything since the Daily Mail made this announcement, he said. Where is the curiosity? Under any other administration, Republican mainly, they would be all over this particular issue. Norman also criticized the ongoing January 6th committee unhearings, which included closed-door testimony Friday from Trump's former attorney, Pat Cipollone. They're trying to divert attention from all the issues that this country is facing, and it's not going to work, Norman said. I think the American people see through it. Well, at least I sure hope they do anyway. He also asked why there is no testimony allowed to refute some of the claims that have been made, including some from the former White House aide Cassidy Hutchison, specifically her claims that Trump had tried to force his Secret Service detail to take him to the Capitol during the attacks. It's a sham of a court, and that's why the viewership is as low as it is, said Norman. She didn't see it. Someone was telling her, so by definition, that's hearsay. And hearsay is never supposed to be admitted in court. But for the left, it always is, if it helps their cause. And that's just exactly the way they are, folks. They don't care about anybody else, just them. That is the only thing they care about. Excuse me. And right now, Biden's plummeting approval rating is now below Trump's worst. But here's the thing that's really got my hackles in an uproar here. They're now claiming that unemployment is at 3.6%. The only way that it can be at 3.6% instead of 15 or 14 where it really actually probably is because they're not counting a lot of people who are out here unemployed. My wife right now is unemployed. She's not being counted because she's not on the unemployed roll. She's looking for work, but she's not getting unemployment. So she's not on the unemployment rolls, but she's unemployed. And I know a lot of people who are unemployed right now, but they're not being counted by the government for several reasons. One is maybe they're liberal and they don't want the government to count them as unemployed to help the government's ideas of what the unemployment rate is in this country. Like I said, it's probably closer to 15% right now. But because so many people have just given up, they haven't even looked for work, they're not even trying. Because of all of them that are out of work but not trying to find work, they're not counted by the federal government as unemployed. If they were, unemployment rates would be so much higher than they are now. But right now, Biden's having to fight his plummeting approval ratings with the Hispanics right now. It's 24%. That's lower than it has ever been for Democrats with the Hispanics. And most of the Hispanics here in New Mexico that I've talked to want nothing to do with him. And the big news this afternoon was Musk's bid to drop Twitter is causing all kinds of interesting things to go on. He says that the company has lied and given misinformation on what they want him to do and what they're going to allow him to do or whatever. So he's backed out of it. Now Twitter's going to sue him. And then we have this store manager in New York City that actually killed somebody who came into his store and started fighting him while this man's girlfriend stabbed him in the arm. He ended up killing this thug that came in. And what started the whole thing the thug girlfriend, came in to buy a bag of chips or something like that. And she used her EBT card. Well, the EBT card didn't have the funds on it. And when the EBT card didn't have the funds on it, the store manager took back the bag of chips. And the girlfriend, the thug girlfriend, was pissed off. She was mad as hell. She stormed out of the store, got her boyfriend, the thug boyfriend, who came back in, got behind the counter, and shoved the store owner onto the floor. And then proceeded to give the girlfriend the chips. At least that's what it looks like in the video. Then the store manager gets back up and a fight ensues. During this fight, the thug girlfriend, reaches through and stabs the store manager. While he's fighting for his life, and the store manager actually gets a hold of a weapon and stabs the thug several times. I heard five, but several times. And the guy eventually dies. That should have been the end of it right there. But the thug girlfriend, who actually helped in this whole thing and stabbed the store manager in the arm while trying to help her thug boyfriend, didn't get charged with anything. She didn't get charged for anything. And now you got to look at this here. This is the way our country is going now. She didn't get charged with anything. And this should have been the end of it. But no, not in New York. The district attorney charged the store owner with second-degree murder. Now, it's not all his fault. The police actually, after watching the video, charged him with second-degree murder, too. They're the ones who charged him. The district attorney, who is constantly letting criminals go and hurting the law-abiding people, could have looked at that video and said, nope, he didn't do anything wrong here. But he went ahead and did what the police said and charged him with second-degree murder. Now this man is in Riker Prison. He has a family to feed. He is an elderly gentleman. He got out of that with his life. But it looks like his life, if the left has anything to do with it, is going to be spent in prison for defending himself. That is the idiocy that this country is being led by now. Biden constantly telling everybody that, oh, the economy is doing great. We have more jobs now than we've ever had. We've got more people working now than we've ever had. I got more votes than any other president ever has. Yeah. And he can't even fill a backyard when he does rallies. Tomorrow night, Trump is going to have another rally, and it's going to be in Alaska. And I bet he has crowds there. Just like all the rest of his rallies before and after the election. There are going to be thousands upon thousands of people there, even in Alaska. And Biden couldn't even fill a backyard. They would go so far as to put chairs down and then draw circles around the chairs so that the chairs were in certain places for people to sit in, and maybe 10 chairs out there, 5 of them filled, the rest of them empty, and he got more votes than any other president ever has? I do not think so. Folks, this nation is in trouble. This nation is in big trouble. And New Mexico is one of the places that actually shows what's going on here. On Friday, far-left Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham here in New Mexico campaign made its most desperate fundraising plea yet. This time, Lujan Grisham shared a screenshot of a June 27th tweet from wanting actress Bette Midler, who posted an altered photo of the New Mexico sign, edited to add, "We've got chili, weed, and reproductive rights." The screenshot included Lujan Grisham's retweet, which added, "And we're going to keep it that way." The sign references the extremist Democrat governor's legislation that legalized abortion up to birth, which she claims is reproductive rights, despite abortion ending the reproductive process and killing a child. She also called a special session of the state legislature to ram through a bill that would legalize recreational marijuana, despite it being a federally illegal Schedule I substance. Fundraising email said, quote, "You heard the governor, friend. Donate now and keep New Mexico the land of chili, weed, and reproductive rights." And they got a picture of the sign. I wish I had seen it before I started the show. I'd have made a picture of it in the studio or on the page, so you could have seen it too. The sign actually says, "We've got chili, weed, and reproductive rights. Welcome to New Mexico, the land of enchantment." This could possibly be the laziest fundraising ploy yet from Lujan Grisham, but there are still 4 months and until the November 8th election where she faces off against tough competition. And the competition is going to be tough. The first comment after the article was from Laurel Harrelson, who said it should say chili, weed, and legal murder of babies, which essentially that is what the governor is after. But the headline on that one was MLG campaign makes its most desperate fundraising plea yet. And the article that was just before it said, Campaign Finance Report, MLG takes at least $16,000 in dark money and spends big on TV. Folks, New Mexico is a good example of what the United States is going to be like if we do not stop this. And then Biden even goes farther, and he slammed for an odd statement on the assassination of former Japanese Prime Minister as perhaps the stupidest thing he has ever said. 9 hours after former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was shot, and 5 hours after he was pronounced dead, President Joe Biden released a statement about the assassination. The statement, however, was met with criticism due to its mention of a divisive issue of gun violence. Now, the Prime Minister was not shot in the United States. He was not killed in the United States. He was killed in Japan. And here's what we have to start realizing here. The White House statement read, while there are many details that we do not yet know, we know that violent attacks are never acceptable and that gun violence always leaves a deep scar on the communities that are affected by it. Conservative journalists and commentators such as Ben Shapiro and Matt Whitlock took to Twitter to call out the president's odd response, calling it perhaps the stupidest thing he has ever seen. Biden says that assassinating Shinzo Abe is a problem of gun violence. This is perhaps the stupidest thing he's ever said, and that is saying something, and that was Ben Shapiro. Matt Whitlock said, this statement is pretty odd. Abe has been one of America's most important strategic partners for the last decade, including the Obama years, which Biden was loosely involved in. And Biden is focused on the larger impact of gun violence? Tiana Lowe, a commentary writer for the Washington Examiner, wrote that Biden's decision to hijack Abe's death for domestic political expedience is more than malicious, it's moronic. It took Joe Biden nearly 12 hours to respond to the assassination of the former prime minister. And he managed to make his shooting committed by a homemade gun in a country with some of the strictest gun laws on the planet about American gun violence. The suspected gunman identified it as Tetsuya Yamagami shot Abe in the neck with what appeared to be a handmade gun during a Friday campaign event, according to CNN. Abe was rushed to the hospital in Nara, Japan, where he was pronounced dead at 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Japan has some of the strictest gun control laws in the world. Biden released his statement at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday. Breitbart News reporter Charlie Spearing tweeted, a full 8 hours behind former President Donald Trump's response. Chris Stiegel, a conservative talk radio personality, was quick to note that Trump released two statements, one shortly after the attack and another at 5 a.m. Chris Stiegel said, Shinzo Abe was assassinated approximately midnight Eastern time. Former President Trump posted about the shooting an hour later. At 5 a.m. Eastern Time, he posted about his death. As of 8:30 Eastern Time, not a word from Biden or the White House. Trump praised the former prime minister in his first statement, calling Abe a true friend to him and America. Trump later commented on his death, saying it was really bad news for the world. Few people know what a great man and leader Shinzo Abe was, but history will teach them. And be kind. He was a unifier like no other, but above all, he was a man who loved and cherished his magnificent country, Japan. The second post on Truth Social read, Shinzo Abe will be greatly missed. There will never be another like him. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida said he was at a loss for words and called Abe's murder a heinous act, ABC News reported. It is barbaric and malicious, and it cannot be tolerated, Kishida said. We will do everything we can, and I would like to use the most extreme words available to condemn this act. And still, Biden hasn't really said anything of any importance on this one. As the leader of the free world, even though he fraudulently got in there, he still has supposedly an obligation to do the right thing. But as of yet, he still hasn't done that. He keeps saying that we've got low unemployment. We don't. He keeps saying that the economy is doing great. It isn't. He keeps saying that he is popular. He isn't. He keeps saying he is right on the things that he is doing and that the Republicans who are constantly bashing him are wrong. They aren't, and he isn't. But there are all kinds of things going on, you know, and I mentioned that Musk terminates the Twitter deal. He accused the company of trying to fool him with false and misleading representation. And because of that, Twitter's now suing him. And then the big problem that we have today is the Army now begins a soft purge, now cutting unvaccinated soldiers from pay and benefits. They cannot do this, by the way. It is illegal for them to do this, by the way. They signed a contract with the Army and with the Air Force and with the Marines and they signed a contract at a certain amount of pay, and to withhold that pay because they didn't get vaccinated is not only wrong, it's illegal. And watch Biden. He's not going to revisit this one. He's going to stay completely away from it. He's going to let his little bimboette, who is now Biden's new brain, or that's what she's been called. He's going to make her do all the explaining, and she's just going to do everything she can to make it worse. But Joe Biden's Pentagon is putting national security at risk and ordering the U.S. Army to begin purging its ranks of more than 60,000 U.S. soldiers who have thus far refused to take any coronavirus vaccines. Now, the thing that amazes me on all of this, folks, is that coronavirus has now mutated at least 3 or 4 times. And it's scientifically known that each time it mutates, it becomes more contagious, but it becomes less virulent. So by now, it should be really contagious. People should catch it just by almost looking at the person who has it. It's not going to do anything to them. Just make them a little sick, and they'll be fine soon. This is scientific fact, folks. Each time a virus mutates and turns into something else, like coronavirus turned into the Omicron, remember that? And then it turned into the next one. Each time that it mutated, it got more easy to catch. Sorry, my mind went blank on that one. More virulent. But it became less deadly. And the only people who really had problems with coronavirus in the first place were the ones who were not healthy. If you're not healthy, you've got to try and keep yourself safe from things like a cold or coronavirus or the flu or any of these other things, because they will make you sick. But the latest move to purge our military of perfectly healthy and patriotic soldiers is set to cut off the pay and benefits of 40,000 National Guard, 22,000 reserve soldiers for the refusal to get vaccinated, military.com reported. Soldiers who refuse the vaccination order without an approved or pending exemption request are subject to adverse administrative actions, including flags, bars to service, and official reprimands, the Army said in a statement. The move comes just ahead of the annual summer training season and was likely planned to cause many of these soldiers to refuse to attend training camps, an act that will get them sanctioned and possibly separated from service. The Army statement added, in the future, soldiers who continue to refuse the vaccination order without an exemption may be subject to additional adverse administrative action, including separation. Officials added that soldiers who come to camp to be vaccinated or participate in separation procedures will get paid. Soldiers going through the application process for vaccine exemption will also be permitted to attend camp and get paid. But those soldiers applying for exemptions are likely only putting off the inevitable. Biden's Pentagon is simply not approving vaccine exemptions. So far, only 6 Guard soldiers have been approved for an exemption, and no reserve soldiers have been granted an exemption. On the other hand, more than 3,000 exemption requests were denied. So clearly the service is denying more than 99% out of hand. We're going to give every soldier every opportunity to get vaccinated and continue their military career, Lieutenant General John Jensen, Director of the Army Guard, said in a statement. We're not giving up on anybody until the separation paperwork is signed and completed. The vaccine deadline was June 30th. As of July 1st, 13% of the Army Guard and 12% of the reserves had refused the vax. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. There are so many people who have gotten sick, and quite a few have died when they were healthy beforehand, died after the vaccine. So why the hell would anybody who had a working brain take it? Unless you had a pre-existing condition that made it so you would get COVID and have it badly. But the Army has not yet revealed a concise policy of how and when soldiers will be cashiered from service over this vax mandate. But the moves so far are meant to cause soldiers to either take the vax against their will or quit the service voluntarily. To date, 1,148 active duty soldiers have been fired from the service over the vax mandate. But that number is sure to balloon to tens of thousands in the near future unless the vax mandate is canceled. Meanwhile, as Joe Biden's political generals make ready to fire tens of thousands of our healthy soldiers over this vaccine madness, every branch of the U.S. military is struggling to find recruits to keep our armed services running smoothly. The U.S. Army, for instance, will only hit 40% of its recruitment goals for 2022, the Washington Examiner reported. The lack of recruits is so bad that Biden Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin even questioned how long the military can survive this way. 2022 is the year we question the sustainability of an all-volunteer force, he said, according to NBC News. The crisis is so bad that the Pentagon even tried to eliminate the requirement for a high school diploma or GED. That decision was quickly rescinded, though after a firestorm of criticism washed over the armed forces, the Examiner added. The problem is long-term. Indeed, early this year, the military moved to make a major increase in the enlistment bonuses for recruits who sign a 6-year contract. But that 6-year contract doesn't seem to be doing any good for any of these people because guess what? If you haven't been vaccinated, you've been fired.
I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. Get not just one, not two, but three great shows. The one I want to talk about today is Black by Color Only with Southwest Vincent Brown, based out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is Conservative Nation Media's second show of the week on Saturdays. Right now, Black by Color Only is on hiatus until September as Vince needed some time off to spend with his family. And of course, family is important, no matter what the Democrats have to say about it. So starting again in September, Black by Color Only with Vincent Brown will be airing on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We can't wait for Black by Color Only to restart on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
Like I said in the first place, that ad is wrong. They will be back in August. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins. To go to the second section of the show. We just talked about the soft purge that the military is doing, actually the Army right at the moment. And the things that are going on in this country, just kind of blows my mind. There is nothing happening right now, especially from the Biden administration, that is good for the average American citizen. The law-abiding ones, you know. Hunter Biden, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer to a lesser account, Maxine Waters, MLG here in New Mexico, and so many more that I just can't really even name them in a two-hour show, get away with murder, where if the average American, law-abiding American tried any of this stuff, we'd be in prison so fast our heads would swim. But I found another article that talks about a devastating 27-second Biden video should have everyone thinking about the 25th Amendment. And it starts out by saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce you to the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, the most powerful man on the planet." With Vice President Kamala Harris, Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, B-E-C-E-R-R-A, standing behind him, Joe Biden stumbled and bumbled his way through remarks before signing an executive order on abortion on Friday. The official Biden gaffe has given way to at least one gaffe during every public appearance. Today's performance was marked by several. In the video below, or in the video that they had on here, Biden read a teleprompter cue which said, "Repeat the line." Harris remained stoic, and just the hint of a smirk could be seen on Becerra's face. In the next clip, he slurred his words badly. He tried to read the words "all right now" in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Instead of states, Biden said straits. He pronounced District of Columbia as District Columbia. Speaking about a 10-year-old who became pregnant following a rape, rather than saying "terminate the pregnancy," he said, "terminate the presidency." Biden's full presentation could be viewed on Western Journal in a video that was there. 2 weeks ago, during a meeting at the White House, a camera happened to catch a small note card in Joe Biden's hand. An enlargement of the photo showed the card contained a series of instructions for him to follow. The first told the president, "You enter the Roosevelt Room and say hello to participants." The second said, "You take your seat." And it went, and on it went. The final steps reminded Biden, "You thank participants and you depart." Recently, I saw a clip of Biden speaking in 2018. He was fine. The decline began at some point between 2018 and April of 2019 when he launched his campaign for the presidency. Over the past 3 years, he's become gradually worse, and lately it's just been exponentially worse. As his obvious cognitive decline progresses, it's becoming more and more difficult for his wife and his handlers to prop him up. He used to be able to at least read a teleprompter. But now he's begun having problems with that. He slurs his words and sometimes lapses into incoherence. It's not an age issue. Few 79-year-olds sound like our president. There is something seriously wrong with him, and it is terrifying that he is running our country, or trying to anyway. The president's cognitive decline is now a legitimate national security issue, and it's time that the administration officials start thinking about the 25th Amendment. Yeah, we need to start thinking about things like that. Because, folks, as this continues, as this continues, America is going to get slapped with so much hatred from around the world. We're going to lose allies. We're going to lose all kinds of standing that we ever had. And we've already lost most of the standing that Trump got back for us after Obama. And folks, we have to start looking at what happens to this nation when a Republican takes office and when a Democrat takes office. After Bush, the economy was starting to go down because essentially Bush gave up. During his whole term, both terms, all he got from the media were lies about him saying that he was not able to run the country. He was too stupid to run the country and that everything he did was wrong. After 8 years of that, he gave up. He just literally gave up. Now, I do not think that Bush is one of the best presidents we've ever had. He's far from it. But he would have been a hell of a lot better if the media hadn't been 100% against him. But the economy was much better than it would be under Obama. When Obama took over, he literally told us that with his policies that he had, gas prices would necessarily have to skyrocket, and they did. Carrier moved out of country. Obama said that was just something that had to happen, that they'd never be back. When Trump took over the office, one of the very first things that happened, and it actually happened before he took office, Carrier came back, proving Obama wrong, proving that Obama wanted them gone. As soon as Trump won the White House, everything turned around. Unemployment was the lowest it had ever been for Hispanics, for Orientals, for blacks, and for whites. Yet the media was constantly saying that unemployment was around 8.5%. Yet all these races that I just told you had the lowest unemployment of any time in their history, but unemployment was at 8.5%. And during all the time that Trump was doing all this good for America, the Democrats were lying about him, telling lies, making up things, impeaching him on these made-up things. And he went through two impeachments. Neither one of them worked. And during one of them, Nancy Pelosi committed a felony and tore up his speech on camera, but nothing ever happened to her. If that had been a Republican doing exactly that behind a Democrat president, that Republican would have lost their career. Now, I'm not saying this because I think it would happen. I know it would. I've watched the history of the Democrat Party and what they do. I've watched the history of them since Kennedy. And back then, they weren't bad. They had weird ideas, but they weren't bad. They loved America. They did what they could to save America. And when another president came in that wasn't a Democrat, the fighting and all the infighting and all the lies would stop from the Democrats and the Republicans, and they'd work together to help the new president get done what he needed to do to help America. when Obama came into office, that whole thing changed. Democrats started lying, cheating, fixing the books so that the books would tell the American people and the media what they wanted the people to know, even though most of it was a lie. Remember Obamacare? Nancy Pelosi telling all of us before a microphone that we had to read it, we had to pass it so that we could know what was in it. No, that's not the way that works, but it is now. That's exactly how it works now because the Democrats want it that way. This nation, folks, I say this constantly over and over again. This nation's in trouble. This nation is in trouble. And the things that are going on in this nation right now brings us to one of the latest polls that came out. And what it said, what they came out with over that was the American gun owners distrust government with gun control laws. Yeah, you think? A new NPR IPSOS poll released today found that while most gun owners, no matter which political party, support gun control reforms like universal background checks and raising the age to buy a firearm, they overwhelmingly do not trust either their state or their federal government to protect their constitutional right to have a weapon. That right there says a mouthful, folks. It seems that I've got a phone call here. I just noticed I came back into the studio. I'm sorry, 314, you're on the show. Sorry, I didn't even realize you were there.
Yeah, you was on a roll. That's okay. Hey, my name's Bianca. I'm calling from the Midwest. Sometimes
hey, how are you
south.
Today? How are you today?
I'm doing fine. You know, you asked the question, what can we do?
Well,
yeah. There's a lot of things that we can do, and things are being done. And
mm-hmm.
I heard some young people today, 17-year-olds, recently graduating from high school, and a group of them are contemplating on writing laws, especially for their area. And one of the things that stood out is that elected officials and people that work in government in office position has to take a constitutional test, and they have to pass it.
Yeah.
Yes. If they can't, they don't get the job, because it's all similar instances where you have to bring qualifications and prerequisites to any job that you have. And it should be the same thing for your school boards. How is it that you can take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States and you don't even know what the hell's in it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So that there needs to be done. And also to counter what you got these delivery services like FedEx and UPS doing, where they're refusing to deliver something that's associated with guns. Well, what about also refusing to deliver things that's associated with abortions? Gloves, swabs, forceps. And also, let's restrict the delivery of material that's banned, that should be banned in school districts, like books that portray illicit sexual position that they are giving to our young people. Yeah, let's go on this ban stuff. I'm all for that. Because when you start doing it, then people will realize that the power that they have over what's so precious to them in both cases, the Second Amendment and also their children. And it don't just have to stop there.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm for it. That's bad. Hey, call UPS up. And hey, if you got a person that's delivering, don't come up on my driveway. Don't come up my walkway with that. Stay away. Stay away. If you're in a state that has restrictions on abortion, especially after the heartbeat is detected, then if you are delivering any sorts of material that's going toward the process of killing that baby in the womb, it should be banned. You shouldn't be delivering. It shouldn't be on your truck.
Exactly.
That's the way you fight back.
Exactly, and I agree with you, and that's where the Democrats are getting away with all of this stuff. They sit there and they say, well, we got to ban this, we got to ban that, but the Republicans aren't doing the same thing back at them, and they should
You're right. You are right, sir. There's something wrong with these Republicans.
Oh, absolutely.
We already know there's something wrong with these Democratic minds. I think some of these Democratic minds had the biological makeup, DNA composure, that allow aliens to infiltrate their souls. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm starting to believe that. Because there's so much of it going on.
Yeah, I've thought that for years.
Yeah. I mean, look at the things that they do when they don't agree. Look at what these women are doing and how they're acting. Look at this one politician that's twerking upside down. It looks like a beach whale that's got his head stuck in the sand. All these things are just totally ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's getting worse all the time. You know, it's just if with some of the things that Biden has said in his speeches over the past couple of days, if a Republican had ever said the things that he's saying and having the trouble speaking like he's speaking, they'd take him out of office.
Biden administration, for instance, like this this hate bill that they put forth for transgender?
Yeah.
In that bill, it specifically states trannies, not the Pacific, but for instance, if you as an individual see an anti-lynching bill or anti-lynching bill, I forget the one that he's signed here. Like, he signed so many, there's nowhere in the world you can keep up with. But that usually is associated with a mob rule. But now it's in one individual. For instance, if you're out at a spot and you dancing with what you think is a female, and all of a sudden you got something that's prodding you down below your waist coming from that person's direction, well, you know damn well that's not a female. And if you and your anger haul off and smack the hell out of them, now this law pertains to you.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's like that thing I was talking about a little earlier with that store manager that fought that thug that came in because he wouldn't sell this thug's girlfriend these chips because her EBT card wasn't working. You know, he was fighting for his life there, and the guy ended up dying over this. And now the store owner, the store manager, is being charged with second degree murder because the guy who came in to assault him got killed.
Well, you had another case where you had a customer, a white elderly person, go in to a business, a fast food restaurant or something of that nature, and you use the N-word. Well, hell, you hear it all over the place. Well, the manager that was behind the counter hauled off and slapped the elderly white person. He fell, hit his head on the concrete, and later on, he died because of the injuries to his head. Nothing has happened to him whatsoever, the person that assaulted him, that slapped him.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing about that one I was just talking about. The girlfriend actually stabbed the store manager in the arm trying to help her boyfriend, and she was not charged with anything.
I heard about that. Mm-hmm. So we know that there's different municipalities and venues, and all laws are not the same. But my goodness, it seems like these laws and these reporting is all favoring one slanted view. And that's totally wrong because it leaves deception in people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that working out into your kids. For instance, like these law schools, these progressive professors in these law schools are teaching these young law students that the Constitution is forever evolving. Well, that's just not true.
No, it's not. They teach that it's a living document. No, it's not.
No, it's not a living document. And it cannot be interpreted. How in the hell are you going to interpret that which allows you to exist? When
mm-hmm.
time comes for people to get rid of you, well, you come up with an interpretation and say, no, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
So,
and,
so
and
much
that's, that's where things are going wrong here, is that we've got so many judges who, instead of following the law in their judgments, interpret the law in their judgments. And you can't do that.
And look at Joe Biden, who's selling national strategic oil reserves to members of the CCP, Communist Chinese Party, who has affiliation with his son, Hunter Biden. Now, is that not called for impeachment right there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and they impeached Trump on made-up stuff.
If Trump got up and brushed his teeth the wrong way, they was ready to impeach him in the morning.
Yeah, that was sad. But, you know, even with everything that they threw at him, he still had an economy that was going better than it is now, but they're still saying that, you know, and during Trump's presidency, he had the lowest unemployment of blacks and Hispanics and in the history of the United States, and yet he had a higher unemployment. I think they said it was like 8.5%, and now they're saying that Biden's is at 3.6. There ain't no way it can be.
Oh, hell no. I know that many people that won't go to work sitting around waiting on another stimulus check.
Mm-hmm. And if they're not looking for work, of course the government thinks they're not unemployed.
Yeah, well, they're not looking for work. They don't want work. They want things to continue the way it is. I tell you what, you really want to... You know, some of these programs should be on the topic of the national debt item by item and explain to people exactly what it does mean. There's no way in the world you're going to pay just the regular debt of $30 trillion, which will be $40 trillion by next 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hell,
absolutely.
You got an unfunded liability, sir. Unfunded liability is over $170 trillion. My goodness, that is literally impossible.
Yeah, and we'll never get that paid off.
Oh, hell no. You're not going to get the $40 trillion paid off.
No. Won't get what we've got now paid off either.
And that's just a shame. That is really a shame. So people have to resort to all sorts of things just to keep their head above the water.
Yeah. And, I understand that one. Right now, the only income that we have coming in right at the moment is my retirement check, and most of it goes to rent. So that kind of
you're absolutely right. That's insane. And then he's trying to kill a whole industry, whereas the present activity is paying for people who have worked long standing and now own pensions. So you want to kill this industry? And what do these people do? Go out on the streets?
It's hard telling.
Yeah. And
they
it's just ridiculous. And people need to wake up. I mean, the least thing you can do is talk. And you must have your young people with you in these type of discussions. You have these discussions. You come up with these solutions. And you die off. Now your young people have to live with what it was you planned. They had no participation in it whatsoever. And the least area where you should direct your efforts is recapturing those schools. If your child is in a government school, then you must make sure that board follows your direction. They're not supposed to come in there and be elected and go sit up there and do things based on their heart's conviction.
Mm-hmm.
They allow you 3 minutes to speak. Heck, with so much stuff going on, you need 30 minutes to get those points across.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And
then you
got to
start getting rid of the asses. Yeah, you got to start getting rid of them. Don't let them sit their term. States should allow the recall of school board members with the least possible effort. We're talking about kids. Your child has no switch on the back of their head that you can turn off and halt their progress while you get things together. They're continuing to go on and live through this foul mess and be miseducated. Well, when they become adults into the world society, they will continue to carry on what they was taught. And this is what they're taught is coming from professors who seems like their sole purpose is to destroy the United States.
Yep. And that I've been saying that for a long time now. It's, you know, because like the Democrat Party used to be, I never really agreed with them, even back with Kennedy. But at least then, if a president won the election, then the parties would get together and actually try and work for the good of the United States. Now, if a Democrat wins, then the Democrat Party lets them do anything they want to do, but the Republicans have to fall in line. When the Republican wins, then the Democrats go hog wild going after him and breaking laws and everything else. It's like when Pelosi tore up Trump's speech after that one thing where she tore it up. That was actually a felony, but nothing's ever happened to her.
Well, they get away with all kind of murder. Look at the things that Maxine Waters just says out of her mouth. Lisa Long, the thing where she all of a sudden show up. I mean, some of them are just downright insulting, like the man she made with the homeless people, telling them to go home. I mean, that is just totally ridiculous. How she told the people after the Supreme Court decision, which was in line to correct something that was made an error in the past, is she going to tell them that you haven't heard the last of it yet? You got these people that's protesting in front of Supreme Court Justice's house. That's intimidation. They should be locked up.
That's also against the law, too.
So anyway, I'm going to let you get back to your show, sir. I just wanted to share that information about what those young people are doing, requiring government officials, school board members, anybody that works in a position where they have to make decisions and moves that's going to benefit the public. They need to know and have passed a course in Constitution, the history of the United States, going back to 1776, the history of the United States. They need to know that, and they need to show that they know it very well, just like you would if you were going to get a license to fly an airplane, just like you would if you was going to be a welder on a job. You got to show your competences in what it is that you're going to be handling. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, and, you know, what he was saying there is you know, even when it comes to drones, you have to register the drone. You have to do what is needed to be able to start your own business with a drone. I've gone through that. So it's and I've got another phone call here. I usually don't answer phone calls with just a 111 number, but you're on the show.
Well, thank goodness you took my call, because I got to follow Pianchi, and I know I got to be good. How you doing, November Whiskey Charlie Romeo?
I'm doing great. I had a feeling it might be you, and I'm glad you called, too.
Yeah. I mean, I came late to the party here, but I did hear a bit of what you and Pianchi were discussing. I'd like to add to it, if I might.
Oh, you can add all you want.
Thank you, sir. You're speaking of the irresoluteness of many of our rhino brethren in the Republican Party. And although I don't consider myself a Republican anymore, I admit I ally with them infinitely more than I do with the Democrats. But you were speaking about why they're so irresolute and why it seems they're so wishy-washy and lack fortitude, shall we say. I think a lot of that has to do with the prevailing zeitgeist that comes about by listening to the mainstream media and Hollywood and the culture and the relentless drumbeat that is almost singularly unopposed unless you listen to just a few hosts on Fox News and a host of other sources such as yourself and people on the internet and people on blogs. If you don't listen to them, what you get is a mainstream, again, relentless drumbeat of leftism, distortions, lies, intimidation, bullying, you name it. And I think, you know, many of these people who are not as resolute as people like, say, Matt Gaetz or Jim Jordan or Jim Banks or, you know, Candace Owens or a whole host of other people, they simply acquiesce. It's understandable. Yeah. But what I think we should make them aware of is the fact that their prevailing wind is not really a wind. It's just a fart in the breeze. And, you know, and but it just seems like it's more than this because it's all one-sided. And many of them are misled by this, and they don't even bother to take the pulse of their constituencies, not to the extent that they should. They simply listen to the power elites and the, like I said, the conventional wisdom is expressed by New World Order liberals, and they just give in.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that for many of them that do these disappointing votes, that a lot of it just can't seem to understand. We got to say, I think that explains it a great deal. Because let's face it, people with genuine courage are rare. That's why we have medals. You know,
yeah,
for combat.
That's for sure.
You know, because I got to mean, even people who do their basic duty are not going to go above and beyond. I mean, I would never have thrown myself on a hand grenade, no matter what. Never. I just didn't have that in me to do it. But there were people who did, and they get the Medal of Honor.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we got to understand that, you know, when it comes to elected officials, we need to find the very best of the best. We really do, because it's hard these days, particularly if you have conservative viewpoints and conservative philosophies, to find somebody who is genuinely determined to stick to their guns, which is why, for all of his faults, Donald Trump is singularly the most courageous president I've ever seen. Like I said, yes, he's got faults, but not when it comes to the basic ideas for which he stands. He stands pretty firm, pretty firm. The only thing I had a major fault with him was I wish with certain key appointments he had chosen better. He definitely made two bad picks with Attorney General. He should have picked.
Yeah.
You know, I never did. I was always a little leery of Rudolph Giuliani, but I think Rudolph Giuliani in the final analysis would have been a better pick for Attorney General. Would have served him much better.
Oh,
I mean,
think so too.
Yeah, I was really just turned off when I heard that this assistant U.S. attorney in New Jersey found compelling evidence of election fraud in his district and something like that. He's got to go get it approved by the attorney general, his boss, William Barr. And William Barr ordered him not to investigate what he felt was convincing evidence and probable cause of election fraud. Ordered him not to. I think the guy's name is Sullivan, I think. McSwain. Yeah, McSwain.
Yeah.
And after that, I knew right away. And what got me was I had heard this very same attorney general on an interview with CNN with Wolf Blitz in 2019 tell us what a horrible thing that was rife with the prospect of election fraud, that universal mail-in balloting would be for the election, and how it just should not be done. I watched the very same attorney general say this vociferously to Wolf Blitzer. It was like I was watching two different human beings.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
But, you know, right now they're convening a grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia, looking to investigate the so-called pressure from Donald Trump with Brad Raffensperger, the ultimate rhino, in regard to the election fraud. I think they are looking to get an indictment. I think since the prosecutor is supposed to be able to indict a ham sandwich, it would seem fairly likely he just might get a state-level indictment here in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been following that one, and that just everything that the Democrats are doing right now, essentially, I think, is to just make sure that Trump can never run again because they're scared to death of him.
Well, I just like to tell people that the United States Constitution is the lodestar for who's eligible to become president. And the Constitution of the United States only sets three requirements to be president of the United States. Number one, first and foremost, which has already been breached at least twice in the last two decades, you got to be a natural-born citizen. Neither Kamala Harris or Obama was. So, you know, I guess, therefore, that doesn't count anymore. But that's what the Constitution says. You got to be a natural-born citizen. Number two, you got to be 35 years of age at the time of your inauguration. And number three, you have to have lived 14 years a resident, 14 years of your life, at least, a resident of one or more of the states of the union. That's all. You don't have to pass a background check. You can be a convicted felon. It doesn't matter. You're the president of the United States. If you meet those three requirements, you're eligible to run and be sworn in as president of the United States if you get the requisite amount of electoral votes. And I believe if people see Donald Trump is subject to a political persecution, I believe he might just get enough votes to win anyway. Can you imagine that? Having a president come up governing as president of the United States from a jail cell. Wouldn't that be interesting?
That would
not
be interesting.
Not that I think he'd go to jail anyway. I mean, I'm sure at the very least there would be a hung jury, assuming they could get an indictment and, you know, it goes to trial. I don't think he'd get convicted anyway. I don't think. I would hope not. Because I'll tell you one thing, though. Even if he does get indicted, I think discovery ought to be amazing. Discovery's a two-edged sword, you know.
Yeah, and the Democrats don't think it is, but it is.
Yeah, and there's ample evidence that the President of the United States, remember, President of the United States just isn't an ordinary citizen. I mean, first of all, he's got the right to ask if there's anything illegally done with the election in Georgia. He's got the right to call the Secretary of State and ask him if there are not votes that are either illegally cast or ones that were legally cast and not counted. He's got a right to ask him if they're there to be found.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's called not only the First Amendment, but it's also got to do with the fact that the President of the United States is the chief executive of the United States in charge of enforcing federal election law. It's not like he's just an ordinary citizen trying to pressure the Secretary of State to do something. And like I said, discovery is going to be a biatch. We're going to have to see what might come out in the discovery process.
Well, actually, we're already seeing some of that because a lot of the discovery that's coming out now has got a lot of the Democrats running scared, and actually a few of the Republicans too, I think.
I think it should. I just got a really outstanding book that I'm just starting to get into right now. It's called The 2020 Coup by Patrick Colbeck. 2020 Coup, What Happened, What We Can Do, and it details with all the irregularities that went on in the 2020 election, stuff that's been established pretty much factually, principle of which is not even the mules or not even the funky voting machines, principle of which is the violation of the Constitution and Article 12 of the Constitution and Article 2 of the Constitution, which specifies that election law is to be determined by the state legislatures. And we just had a ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court yesterday, or the day before yesterday, that drop boxes are illegal in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said this. And the Pennsylvania a court in Pennsylvania, which is now up in the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, said that the Pennsylvania legislature violated the state constitution. Georgia altered election law without the benefit of the state legislature. Raffensperger and Kemp made a deal with Stacey Abrams to change election law. The legislature didn't sign off on it. And the same thing happened in, I believe, Ohio. So you got four states actually whose electoral votes should not have been counted toward the total because they violated not only the United States Constitution, but in maybe two instances, their state constitutions.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's happening, like here in New Mexico. Our governor has violated the state constitution so many times, it's not funny. And she's got a lot of people actually talking about the things that she has done wrong, and she keeps calling us like lizard people because we don't agree with her. I made a t-shirt like that
numbskull Kathy Hochul in New York.
Oh, gosh, that woman's an idiot.
She's a moron, and she's absolutely stupid. I mean, it's amazing. I don't think we have ever in the history of the United States been governed by such a thoroughly incompetent and moronic class of politician ever. Not so many in one place at one time. And when you stop thinking that this country was founded by probably the most brilliant group of politically minded men to ever assemble in one place at one time in history. And
yep.
Now we're probably being governed by the most incompetent, the most moronic, the most tyrannically inclined cacistocracy ever imagined in this great country. It just goes to show how far we have fallen in the sense of governance.
Yep. And they're
bound everywhere.
Yep, and they're going so darn far right now that even the people who have always followed them are starting to back away. And, you know, it used to be if a political party went that far, they'd say, oh, maybe we better back off a little bit. But they're just going full bore forward, even when they're losing their own constituents.
Man, it's like nothing I ever thought I'd ever behold. I mean, I just see this day after day after day. And I know what was really startling, though, the most startling thing I've heard recently was the remarks by collectively, and both of them coming right on the heels of the other. I forget which came first, but President Biden saying to us that we have to stay the course in Ukraine as long as necessary, and whatever sacrifice had to be made, we just have to do it because it was worth it to guard the borders of Ukraine, as we are on track for 2 million illegal aliens to flood in the country, 809,000 getaways. We don't know who they are. They just got into the country. 50 people known to be on terrorist watch lists who have been apprehended. We don't know how many got away and got into the country who might be on the terrorist watch list. And this man says that we have to stay the course of Ukraine no matter what sacrifice we have to make in order to protect the borders of Ukraine. And then right after that, we get this chief economic advisor, Ryan Deas, for Joe Biden, who tells us that we need to do what we're doing for the new liberal world order. He said the quiet part out loud. Don't they know they're not supposed to say these kind of things out loud?
Well, the thing just slipped out of them.
It's like Dr. Strange Love's arm. They can't keep coming up in the cigar salute. They got to keep fighting it down. They just can't help
it.
It just blurts out from them sometimes.
Yeah, well, they're letting it blurt out more and more often. Now, it used to be that everybody knew what they were after, but they'd keep quiet about it. Now, they don't care. They'll just say it right out, and it doesn't matter anymore. They figure they've gone so far now that they're not going to lose, and they're just going to keep right on going the way they are.
I know. And what we're looking at, for me, what is probably the most alarming immediate danger we face are the host of them. I don't want to apply to downplay any of them, but what is happening to the armed forces of the United States is something I never thought I'd imagine. This is even worse than the parlous state the armed forces were in before World War II, with war on the horizon. And the only thing that saved the United States from being completely unprepared to go into World War II was the fact that by one vote, they got a draft going in 1940.
Yep.
By one vote. And that was the only thing that was even somewhat prepared to go into action in World War II. The armed forces today can't even meet its basic recruiting goals because the very people who are best suited to defend this nation, the very kind of people whom this nation has recruited, the kind of most men that I served with who are most eager if it's necessary, to engage, close with, and destroy enemies in the United States in combat are the ones they are keeping out of the armed forces.
Yeah, and they're threatening not to pay.
It's frightening. They're keeping them out with COVID restrictions. They're keeping them out with all this insane, bizarre, depraved transgenderism and celebration of homosexuality, pride, and shoving everything down your throat and turning the United States Armed Forces into a social petri dish. And the most important single function of the federal government, there's many of them now, don't get me wrong, but the most important single function is to maintain an armed forces that is prepared to defend this nation and repel invasions. And yep. Right now, it's probably in the worst state it's been in since before World War II.
Yep.
And now they're looking to embroil us in a situation in Eastern Europe. This is beyond belief.
Yeah, and their other main thing is to protect our borders, and they're doing neither one of them.
Oh, no, we got to protect the borders of Ukraine. That's more important than our own borders. I mean, the Russian army went into Ukraine with just under 200,000 men. In the month of May, we had 247,000 people processed in the country, illegal aliens, by Department of Homeland Security and Border Patrol.
Yep.
That's just the month of May.
Yep. And living here in New Mexico, I'm right down on that border, so I see a lot of that.
Man, a few years ago, must have been 2015, I had a buddy I was on the police force with. He retired. He lived in Mexico, and when he retired, he left Chicago, went down. He bought a ranch in Sonora, and, I called him up to see how I was doing because we were kind of close when we were on a job, and he told me how bad things were down there with all these. Because he had a ranch right near the Sonoran border, right? The border with Sonora, Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
The ranch right down on there. And he was saying how bad it was. And I said, is that bad? He said, yeah. I said, well, look, how about a couple of us come down there and give you a hand? We went down there to help him out on his farm. You would not believe what we saw. Fortunately, we didn't have to kill anybody. But we definitely had to get a little busy with some of the people who come across. The drugs, the human trafficking. Mm-hmm. Everything, and nobody was responding to his calls for help.
No, they don't.
He had about 150, 200 acres, and it was just beyond belief what was going on down there. And now it wasn't anywhere near as bad then as it is now.
No, it wasn't at all. Mm-mm. I remember about, I'd say about 10, 15 years ago, I used to belong to a group that actually had cameras out on the border, and people from around the United States could watch these cameras, and if you saw anything, you could call a number and report it. I have no idea where those cameras are now, but I thought that was a pretty cool idea.
Well, we got to admit one thing that's really kind of great. Supreme Court rulings recently, especially with regard to the Second Amendment, we're talking about history. I heard you and Pionki were speaking about history. And all that. And the one thing that their rulings did, they rooted the ruling in the Bruin decision. First, you know, the Bruin decision that just gave a slap down in New York City in their racist Sullivan law.
Yeah.
They rooted their decision in the history of bearing arms in the United States, in which they specifically cited three historical instances where citizens were armed with military-grade weapons. And the point was the laws were structured as to demand that they openly carry military-grade weapons, exact same weapons being used by the United States Armed Forces, particularly the United States Army.
Mm-hmm.
And they cited this in their decision.
And that was awesome.
That was absolutely. I mean, I said, now this is the way you rule, because Second Amendment, strictly speaking, isn't even about self-defense. That's just an incidental benefit you have of the right to keep and bear arms. I mean, if you're legally bearing arms, you have the right to use them in lawful self-defense. Well, for that matter, even if you're illegally using them, even though you could be prosecuted for the illegal possession. But nonetheless, if you have arms, you can use them to defend yourself. That's the main thing. That's just a corollary incidental benefit. The reason we have the Second Amendment is not for shooting bunny rabbits or target shooting, because after all, you got to have a license to hunt in most every state. If you got to have a license to do something, it ain't right. It's a privilege granted by a state. So the Second Amendment cannot be about hunting, and it definitely isn't for target shooting. You didn't need a constitutional amendment for that.
Nope.
The reason we have a Second Amendment is to maintain the citizen militia that the Second Amendment says is necessary, not optional, but necessary to the security of a free state. And a militia is a body of citizens organized for military purposes. If we let the Second Amendment be about anything other than that, then we have negated its purpose entirely.
Yeah, and that's where they're aiming. That's what they're heading for.
That's why they keep bleating about weapons of war. That's precisely the weapons we should be allowed to have. Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The National Firearms Act of 1934 is unconstitutional, period. So is the Hughes Amendment. So is the Gun Control Act of 1968. They're all unconstitutional.
Yep.
All of them.
All of them.
And I think these decisions open the door to ridding us of them.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I'm not
that's...
saying it's going to happen. Because, I mean, this would send the soccer moms and the other, they'd be giving the vapors and clutching their pearls and talking about a gun's got more rights than a woman does or some nonsense, you know. But I think it at least sets us on the road to getting rid of the National Firearms Act of 1934, which would be one of the best things ever. Because we didn't have any federal gun control laws until 1934.
Yeah, I think so too. Because you know, essentially, what you know, with this thing that Biden said was in that latest speech about gun control, he kept talking about the AK-47 assault rifle. Well, it's not really an assault rifle, for one thing.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I'd like to say this based upon my 24 years of experience in the National Guard and as a police firearms instructor and SWAT team member and infantryman and tank commander and all this other stuff. The most common usage for the M16 and its variants, the M4 carbine, the M4A1 carbine, or any assault rifle for that matter, its primary usage is in the semi-automatic mode. Select fire capability is reserved for relatively narrow tactical uses. And when I was in combat, I would regularly, I'm a veteran of three wars, and I regularly tell the men in my squad and my platoon, stop using that full auto switch because it's for room clearing, the final stages of an assault, and, you know, for a very few purposes, most of the time, and, you know, gaining initial fire superiority, most of the time, you're supposed to use it in some automatic mode, aim, fire. So for all practical purposes, the civilian variant of the AR-15 is identical to the same barrel length of the military version, maybe a little bit more effective because it's got, you know, 16-inch carbine is got an inch and a half more barrel length than a 14.5-inch barrel of an M4 carbine. So actually, strictly speaking, it's probably a little bit more accurate, maybe a few dozen feet more per second out of the barrel. So in that sense, the civilian AR-15 is every bit as effective and identical to the military version. We should not be ashamed to say it because that's the whole purpose of the Second Amendment.
Exactly.
Although we should have some that have the select fire version too, because that's what the typical infantryman of the day is equipped with. And when they talk about, well, they had muzzle-loading firearms back then. Well, back then they had quill pens and printing presses and nothing else. Okay? So stop with the foolishness. They said arms. They didn't say muzzle-loading muskets. They said whatever arms the typical infantryman of the day had was what the typical militiaman of the day was expected to show up with when he was called to muster. And that was the equivalent of whatever the British Army had at the time, mostly Brown Best musket and its variants. In fact, many times the militia were equipped with better weapons than the British had because a lot of American militiamen were riflemen. They had weapons that could reach out and touch you accurately to 200 to 300 yards. The Brown Best musket wasn't good past really 50, and optimally up to maybe 90, maybe. That's why they did volley fire all the time. So when they say this nonsense, this stupidity, that, you know, they had muzzle loaders. No, the founding fathers had no problem with ordinary citizens possessing weapons superior even to the regular British infantrymen of the day. None.
Mm-hmm.
And you could buy a cannon back then if you had the money. There weren't any checks you had to go through or anything else. And so you get a letter of mark and reprisal, be on your privateer ship to go out and hunt enemy shipping on the high seas and fight it out with cannon.
Yep.
And these people just say things like historically illiterate, they know nothing, and they expect the rest of us to be as ignorant as they are or pretend that we are.
Well, I think the big problem is that when they say something, there's never anybody around to refute them when they say it. And if they are there, they don't say anything until later on.
Right, right. Well, I like I said, I think we don't need – I realize that, you know, when they say things like assault weapons, that's a nebulous, stupid, made-up term to panic people, and I reject it because there's no such things in assault weapon other than what Josh Sugarman of Handgun Control made up to frighten people into trying to get us to give them up and confiscate them. I understand that, and I fully want to point that out every opportunity I get. But since assault rifles are not really designed for sustained automatic fire anyway, they're there for, you know, a specific purpose. The point of the matter is they are almost, for 80% of what a soldier needs to do, 85% there, every bit as effective as that same weapon in the hands of a soldier. They do the same thing. They fire the same cartridge. They have the same capability, maybe even a slight bit better. And we shouldn't be ashamed to say it because that's the whole point of the Second Amendment. Otherwise, there's no reason to have it. We don't need to have it just for self-defense or even for shooting a bunny rabbit.
Absolutely.
I welcome the fact that it's a weapon of war. Bring more of them.
Oh, yeah. We need more of them.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I said, you know, it's amazing. Again, there are 350 to 400 million firearms of all types in the United States in private hands. Think about that. Over half of the country, or just about half of the country, is slightly over half or just slightly under half of the country, owns one or more firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about it. With all those firearms in private hands, the overwhelming majority of them being in the hands of law-abiding citizens, if firearms in the hands of law-abiding citizens were a problem, this country would be ungovernable. Everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we seem to overlook it when we talk about a few thousand firearms being used illegally every year out of the universe of 350 million, and these people think in order to fix that problem, they got to go after the people who don't pose a problem criminally. This is stupid. It's like they are like the same kind of people who, if you were going to go fishing, they would drain the ocean to get the fish, rather than throw their hooks and their nets where the fish are.
Yep.
These people are just silly. They're silly, they're puerile, they're juvenile, they're hysterical, they're given a hyperbole. And like I said, you know what? This is the very thing that turned me conservative from being a liberal gun grabber was when I became a police officer and I saw that every single thing that these gun grabbers have been telling me about guns and criminal usage of guns was a distortion or an outright lie. Everything. I mean, there wasn't anything that comported with the evidence, the empirical evidence of my eyes or the epistemological evidence after I did research or discussing the issue with hundreds of my fellow brothers in blue. Not one bit of it. And it began me to do research into other things. So what else have they been lying to me to? They've been lying to me about so blatantly. Because none of this, I mean, I took dozens of guns off of criminals. I never took, twice, I took a firearm away from a person who was legally allowed to have it. And the reason I took it away from them had nothing to do with them committing a crime with it. It was just simply to secure it while they were being arrested for another offense.
Yep.
That wasn't a violent offense. It was like serving a warrant or something like that. Twice. And I took dozens of guns away from criminals. And not one of them was legally allowed to possess it. But at the same time, the district attorneys would very often plea bargain away the gun charges against a illegal possessor, a felon, in order to get a plea bargain. Okay, we'll drop the gun charge if you'll plea. And these same gun grabbers convince us got to have the gun laws, need more gun laws for the state's attorneys dispose of in plea bargains. It's crazy.
Well, you know, the thing is, if they would just enforce the gun laws that are on the books now, they wouldn't need more gun laws because they're there.
Hey, I'd be for repealing a whole bunch of them. They're ineffectual and useless, and they're an infringement.
Yep, they take our rights away. You know, that thing they had about that former prime minister in Japan that got killed?
Yeah.
Japan's got some of the strictest gun control laws in the world, and he was a former prime minister and was still a big part of the government, so he had really high protection, yet he was still killed.
Yeah, Shinzo Abe, was that his name?
Yep.
Abe, and his last name is Abe, or his family name is. And yeah, I looked at the device used to kill him. It was an electrically fired, probably black powder device with a smooth bore, looked like. He made like a homemade shotgun. He had electrical, he had batteries and wires running up maybe to the black powder, maybe either a det cord or maybe a primer of some sort he put in there, maybe a blasting cap, and he used it to initiate the black powder train, apparently, because there was so much smoke when he shot it. It was easily made out of pipe and tape, a little bit of wood, and a couple of shotgun slugs. It was easy to make it. Obviously, I could see right away how he made it when I saw the batteries and the wires hanging out of it.
Yeah.
Anybody could make that with a modicum of a mechanical skill. It was very easy to make.
Yeah.
A lot of electrical duct tape and everything else. Crude device, but as you can see, effective enough to assassinate a prime minister.
Yep. And with all of the gun laws and all of the protection that was around him, it still happened. And the problem there, I think, was because your average citizen didn't have a gun. If the ones that saw it happening had guns, they could have probably stopped it.
Well, the mainstream media doesn't like to cover these things when it happens in the United States, but we have legions of people, law-abiding citizens, who have done exactly that, to include going up against people armed with the scary assault weapons, like the woman in, what was it, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, who killed a gunman with an AR-15 who opened up on a party. And she was legally carrying, and she killed him right on the spot. As soon as he started opening up with his AR-15, she killed him.
Yeah, and I actually cheered that
woman.
and I cheered that woman.
A couple weeks ago. And then this whole – and look, I suspect most citizens' lawful use of guns mirrors my own use of guns as a police officer. I never shot anyone in 23 years as a police officer. I never shot a human being, even though – five of the officers I trained as a firearms instructor did, and all of them were ruled justifiable homicides, but I never did. But I pulled my gun dozens of times to effect an arrest because, you know, either the guy posed an imminent threat or I couldn't see his hands or he was acting furtively or whatever, or I knew he was wanted on a warrant involving a violent crime, so I pulled my gun, I'd cover him with it and give him orders. And they almost always complied.
Yep.
Except one guy who kept coming toward me when I ordered him to stop. He kept walking. I said, stop. I got my gun right in the center of his chest. He steadily walked. I said, stop. Stop. Turn around and lay down on the ground. He steadily walked toward me. I said, am I going to shoot this clown or not? I just holstered my gun. We went at it hand to hand. I wound up arresting him. But mostly all the other times, they would comply. And I think that's the case with most citizens when they use a gun defensively. And that's what the research by John Lott, the great gun researcher, shows. A million of firearms every year where, in the great majority of situations, no one is shot.
Well, that's one of the things that I think I talked about this on my show about a year and a half ago. There was a college student that was in his dorm and he kept a gun by his bed. He had the license to have it and everything, and he heard somebody downstairs, and he heard him coming up the steps, and the guy walked in with a gun, and he had his gun aimed at this guy, and he says, "You better get out of here or I'll shoot you," and the guy left.
That's a typical defensive use of a firearm. That is
yep.
a typical one. And oftentimes they don't even make police reports. The ones John Lott reported on were ones that were reported to the police. Now, we don't know the ones that aren't reported. He did a county-by-county study. He went to every county in the United States and asked for all the records they had about defensive use of firearms by civilians. And that's how he compiled this report. And
yep.
remember, those are the ones reported to the police. So, again, we have no way of knowing when these happen and the party who did it just decided not to. But don't you think it is an absolute disgrace what happened in New York with this bodega owner who had to kill this thug who came and assaulted him, battered him and assaulted him, and the lousy, stinking, no-good George Soros-run DA, Alvin Bragg in New York, had the nerve to charge this man with second-degree murder and then get a judge to approve a $500,000 bail on him when he's letting all kind of criminals run free with no bail.
Yeah, and this guy, the only difference was this guy was actually defending himself and following the laws.
Man, this clear as a bell, he was exercising his lawful right of self-defense, even under stupid New York law. And
yeah.
even if the Alvin Bragg thought he did something wrong, the proper course of action would have been, since there's a clear videotape detailing the whole incident, refer it to a grand jury and let them make the decision. But no,
yep.
he's got to show he wants to protect his thug criminal class constituency. That's why
yeah.
he did what he did, because he wants to protect
absolutely.
His constituency, the thug criminal class in New York.
Yeah, and that's I don't know. I have a real problem with states like New York and California, where and actually New Mexico. With me living here, I'm working hard. One of the people that this state has not had a Republican conservative Supreme Court person since 1906.
You're referring to the state Supreme Court in New Mexico?
State Supreme Court, and we got one who's running now, and I actually have an ad for him on my show, and I was before the end of the show, I'm going to play it, because he's got like 40 years of experience. He follows the Constitution. He puts justice before politics, and that's the kind of people we need.
And they're the kind of people that are becoming increasingly rare these days.
Oh, absolutely.
People who actually understand the Constitution, its history, its intent, the concepts that are embodied therein, separation of powers. It's
mm-hmm.
really hard to find people who really understand the way the Constitution is intended to work. Honest to God, I mean, you know, I really tried to explain one time what it is. And look, it's like, the Senate is supposed to represent the state, not the people, strictly speaking. They're there
yep.
to be the representatives of the state. The 17th Amendment ruined that. It kind of made them a supernumerary House of Representatives. But originally, state senators were supposed to be chosen by the state legislature. That's how they were chosen before the 17th Amendment.
Yeah.
And the president isn't supposed to be the king. He's the executive of a federation of states. The individual states are supposed to be the government that are closest to the people. The people
mm-hmm.
in the state delegate limited powers to this federation, the power to manage interstate commerce, to provide for the common defense, and to speak as one nation to foreign countries. The Senate was the General Assembly of states. The senators were the ambassadors of their states. They're supposed to go to Congress and negotiate interstate cooperation regarding state legislative initiatives that might impact other states or require assets that belong to other states. In that
yeah.
body, the states have equal representation, which is why Rhode Island has two senators and so does California. That's the whole point of it. It's the House of Representatives that represent the people, which is why
yeah.
the House has the only constitutionally created congressional office, which is called the Speaker of the House. The Senate ain't got no such constitutional role. But others, of course, being the President, the Vice President, and Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But, you know, that's too much for these people to understand. Oh, and by the way, let's not forget the inalienable rights of the people is expressed in the Bill of Rights. And the fact that the government is supposed to secure those rights, it didn't grant them to you in the first place. You got them because they're inalienable, because your Creator God gave them to you by virtue of being born a human being. Now, when you understand all of those things, you basically got the gist of what the Constitution is for and what it's intended to do, but it seems to be too complicated for people to go to Harvard and Yale these days.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you there. And you know, it's so sad because a person will pick up a book of 500 pages and read it without stopping, and the Constitution is not really that big.
About 48, 50 pages.
Absolutely, and you could read it in just an hour or so. If
easily.
You know, easily, and nobody will do it. And
they claim to understand it thoroughly. And of course, the only thing they understand is that stare decisis is the Constitution, which is nonsense.
Yeah.
Especially stare decisis that agrees with the way they look at things. If it doesn't agree with them now, it's bad stare decisis. It needs to be overturned. But if it agrees with them, it's inviolate. It's like amending the Constitution. The Supreme Court is like an ongoing, for these people, the Supreme Court is just nothing more than an ongoing constitutional convention.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Honestly,
it is.
We can point out that, Plessy versus Ferguson was undone by Brown versus Board of Education. They'll pay no attention. It just goes over their head or they just are non-responsive and choose to ignore it. We'll point out that Bowers versus Hardwick undid Lawrence versus Texas. And Lawrence versus Texas led to Obergefell versus Hodges. And undid all the sodomy laws in the state and gave us 50 state-induced homosexual marriage. See, so their reverence for stare decisis doesn't mean anything if it gores their oxes.
Exactly. And the only laws that stick around are the ones that agree with them.
Yeah, these people are just... Like I said, we've never been governed by a worse class of people in our lives, ever, ever. And the only thing I'm hoping is that even though it will not roll it back, because this has been going on for decades, ever since those guys from the Frankfurt School got away from the Third Reich and came to the United States and started their little insidious journey, long march through the institutions of the United States. That's how long it's been going on now. That's been going
on
for almost 100
time.
Years. Exactly. Yeah. They came to the United States and they changed the name of the Frankfurt School to the Institute for Social Research, and they've been sending their little minions hither and yon ever since. And so, this election in November will not roll it back because it's going to take a while to undo this, but I'm hoping it'll put a big boulder in the stream and disrupt this current. So maybe we can begin the task of rolling this back. Because otherwise, we're not going to have a constitutional republic if we don't.
Yeah, we're losing that quickly. One of the things that I keep trying to tell people is that, they keep saying, well, we vote somebody into office and nothing really changes. And I tell them, this has been going on for so many years now, it's going to take more than just one person being elected to an office to change anything. And they keep talking to me about, well, we've got to change stuff. We got to elect more people to the federal government. No, you start at the local level and start building from there. Because if you don't get rid of the local idiocy, you're not going to get rid of it in the federal government.
Oh, absolutely, because your local government, your state government in particular, has more to do with how you live than the federal government, or at least it should. The problem, though, in this particular point of time, this federal government we have now is so monstrous that it is literally upending all of the 50 states. It started with the great reset that they had the opportunity to employ with COVID, with the great steal that gave them the opportunity to steal the election with universal mail-in balloting. and the attack by the Green New Deal on the very lifeblood of the United States economy, fossil fuel energy, which is the only thing that can keep the United States economy going at this point in time, because green renewable energy is simply not up to the task. That awaits a further technological development, which may be decades down the road. For now, we've got to do one of two things. That's got to be either fossil fuel or nuclear energy. Nothing else will do. Unless, of course, we want to go back to the Iron Age. If we want to go back to the Iron Age, yeah, maybe renewables will do the job. That's what we're going to have to go back to. In the meantime, we've got to have this going on. But we can see the federal government, which is just all in for the Green New Deal, and now it's trying to go along with this ESG thing, you know, environmental social governance, you know, social credit scores, you know, the corruption involved with Joe Biden and the Chinese Communist Party and their underlings and their oligarchs, what's happening with the war in Ukraine, a whole host of inflation. All of this is policy-driven by this monstrous federal regime. All of it.
Yeah. All of it.
It's all policy-driven. Right now, well, most of the time I would agree with you that the most important thing to do is concentrate on a state and local government. I don't think we ever envisioned a federal government that could be this destructive. This federal government's got to be reined in post-haste.
Oh, it has to be.
Absolutely. And remember, what I started off the conversation with you is what it's doing to the armed forces of the United States. The most important single federal institution in the United States is the is the armed forces of the United States. They're destroying it right before our eyes.
Yeah, and the people need to wake up.
If anybody wonders how important the armed forces is, ask the people of Ukraine.
Absolutely. And you know, the people ought to see this because they see what's going on in Ukraine, because that's all the media is talking about. Except
for
Biden.
If you look at what the media says is most important to the to them, they list it as number one January 6th committee. They look at the environment. They look at Ukraine, and they look at abortion. Those are the four most important things in their mind. You ask the American people, most important to them, high gas prices, inflation, food supply and food chain shortages, immigration. It's just, they're just totally at odds with what the American people believe. These elites just live in a different world than we do.
Yeah, with the illegal immigration, what the Democrats want to do is they want to bring them in so that they get a new voting bloc.
Well, you know, I'm starting to think that might be backfiring on them a little bit, man. As, you know, Hispanics ain't down with this transgender shit. They ain't down with this Latinx stuff. The Spanish language is gender determinant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got a masculine and a feminine in Spanish, you know, el and la. And they don't like this idea of having a gender-neutral language because it's not their language. Not the language they were raised with, and they raised their children with. It's gender specific, even more so than English by far. And these crazy leftists ignore their culture and try to pretend that it can be some sort of a pronoun proper, cultural Marxist. And I think that this strategy's backfiring on them to some extent. At least with the legal Hispanics here, they don't like us any more than I do, I think, for the most part.
Well, you know, living here in New Mexico, we have a lot of Hispanics here, but they're all turning against the Democrat Party. And it's amazing to watch, especially here, because they've always supported the Democrat Party. Well, they're turning against them so fast, and they're all starting to move into being a Republican now because they don't like what the heck is happening. And our governor right now is having all kinds of problems because of what she is doing, and the Hispanics are turning completely against her. And that was where her base was.
Well, their ethos is not Democrat progressive friendly at all.
No.
And I don't know what gave them that, just because they got that moron AOC up there and a few other Vichyite Latinos and Latinas. I guess that gave them the idea because they got, I don't know, Henry Cuellar, and they got guys like, what's that guy who used to be on Hood, was running for president a while back. He was a mayor of some, I forget his name. I forget his name right now. All these other leftist Hispanic. Yeah.
Buttigieg?
They're just not in accordance with the Hispanics I've known all my life, the ones I served with on the police force especially, man. Them guys were mantra was all get out.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
None of them liked the Democrat Party. I mean, none of them. One of them, oh, man, he just hated. He was from Cuba. His parents were from Cuba. And they hated communists. And they saw the Democrat Party as one big communist bunch. They couldn't stand them. And the same thing with the Puerto Ricans. They didn't like any of the cultural liberalism of the Democrat Party. And this is like back in 2008, 2009. And I imagine it's gotten worse. But I mean, I could not hear, I don't ever recall a single Hispanic colleague of mine ever have anything nice to say about the Democrat Party.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of them say anything good about it. And, you know, like I said, around here, there's a lot of them. And they're just...
Yeah, I'm sure. A lot of them come to the United States with the idea of, you know, getting ahead with their own business or working for someone who's got a private business. And they understand that the regulatory regime of the Democratic Party is not conducive to starting small businesses. They understand that. And that's why a lot of them reject the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is all about regulation and tyranny and control. That's its reason for existence. The only thing they want to have you more freedom, give you more freedom to do, is the freedom to kill your baby before it's born. Other than that, they don't want to give you a single bit of freedom or liberty. The idea of liberty is alien to them.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like in New Mexico, our governor actually is making a name for herself because she's passed this law just not too long ago that was after Roe versus Wade got overturned. She said that all you have to do is just come to New Mexico. We'll kill your babies.
It's amazing.
And they're coming. There was the biggest abortion company in Texas has moved to New Mexico.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing. I've never seen. You know, I remember a time when Democrats were, you know, when they had their mask up over their true face, was what they're always doing. Always putting up a mask that conceals the Dorian Gray doppelganger in the attic. You know.
Yeah.
And they try to put up a mask that is completely conceals the ugly demon in the attic. And they would say, oh, we don't want abortion to be common. We want it to be safe, legal, and rare. Everybody regrets the idea that a woman wants to end the life within her because that's not really the way of women, but it's just a regrettable choice that women have to make because they have to do it when there's no other option for them. And that's what they used to say. Now they're out, the fanatical amongst them, the insane, fanatical, demented, are proudly proclaiming it as though it's a virtue to end the human life, the most innocent human life amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I watched Letitia James, the Attorney General of the United States, get up in front of a crowd of people and proclaim how she was proud that she had her baby killed.
Yeah.
And you got the Busy Phillips, those other numbskull actress, Busy Phillips. They're talking about what a wonderful thing it is, like a religious sacrament, like the Holy Eucharist or something.
Yeah.
It is depraved. And then they're talking about setting up death camps on federal property.
Yeah, and they're already starting to do things like that.
Literally death camps.
Yep.
Margaret Singer-style death camps.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I never thought I'd see the United States turn, for a significant part of the population, into a part of the country that worships the god Moloch. But that's what they're doing.
And they're ready
to sacrifice the children to do it. Like they would to Moloch. I mean, they're depraved.
Yeah.
And all, you know, I really wish with the Roe versus Wade decision done, this is what I was hoping the Supreme Court would do. that they would declare children in the womb to be 14th Amendment persons worthy of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and allowed substantive due process before they are deprived of life. That's what I wish they had done.
Oh, I do too.
Now, but what they did was they returned to the states, which is also a proper decision, although I don't think it went far enough. So the states can decide it. And believe me, there will be plenty of states that are going to stay in the baby-killing business. And just think about it. A lot of these people who are all for these pro-abortion fanatics who are all for it, now they can be rid of that pesky third trimester restriction in the Supreme Court. They don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. They can kill that little sucker all the way up to the moment it's coming down the birth canal.
Yep.
They ought to be
and
happy
that's
with
that's the way it is here in New Mexico. They can kill them all the way up to the day of birth.
There you go. Now they can be happy. I don't know what they're complaining about. Supreme Court has said it's up to you now.
Yep. And, you know, what they're seeing is that they're seeing all these states are now banning abortion with the exception of, like, rape or incest or stuff like that. And they're just going absolutely insane over this that, oh, we can't just kill our babies anymore. That's and it amazes me that killing their babies is more important than following God's rules or something like that. You know, it just blows me away.
And don't you find it really interesting that now all of a sudden these fanatical Lysistratas are telling us that, oh, well, we're going to go on a sex strike until we get Roe versus Wade back. So what they're doing is admitting that abstinence works to prevent pregnancy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Think about the irony of this for a minute.
Yeah, I saw a thing the other day.
It's like you cannot make this stuff up.
Oh, you can't, no.
And yet we're living it. It's like a bizarro world we're in.
Yeah.
The same people tell us that sexual liberation is the most important thing imaginable. I mean, they've completely imbibed the idea of polymorphous perversity, as outlined by Herbert Marcuse, who was another member of the Frankfurt School and the Institute for Social Research, and he would outline the whole thing in his book, Eros and Civilization. You know, polymorphous perversity, which means every type of sexual appetite you could imagine is important to your liberation as a human being.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, that your verse way has come about being reversed, now they tell us the key to preventing pregnancy is abstinence. Amazing. But here we are.
Yep. And they're still not taking
like Puritans
that.
Now. In a way, they sound like Puritans now, don't they?
Yep. And they're still not taking that as something that's scientific. You know, they're just kind of saying, oh, well, that's just something somebody's saying. But it's they're going to prove themselves to be false all the way down.
Well, when you are totally lacking in self-awareness, these are the sort of paradoxical, contradictory things that can go on in your mind at the same time because they're utterly devoid of reason, logic, and the ability to reason linearly. They are completely devoid of it. I mean, they have no use for it even. I mean, they literally wish into being whatever they want for their crazy, degenerate purposes. They just hallucinated into being, and therefore it is. We can have climate change with renewable fuels right away. We don't have to wait another day. In fact, we wait 3 more years, the world is doomed, and we're going to be extinct. They say things like this.
Yep.
They dare you not to believe it, then they got to bully you and intimidate you into believing it, even with threats of physical violence. These people are brown shirt bully fascists.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, you know, they want you to believe that a person can change their gender simply by wishing it so, or speaking it at will. And it can literally go back and forth as the whim suits them.
Yeah.
And then we make public policy. We got to completely upend public policy to suit less than 1% of the population.
I agree. That's just, you know, and it's, now they're going after the kids, you know, because the kids, when they get to be close to being teenagers, they're going to be confused about everything. Well, there's their open door for saying, okay, if you're confused, then you can be, then you're actually another sex. And they've got all these kids questioning this now, which they never did before. I mean, you go through your confusion time, but the government stayed out of it, and you were fine after a while. But now their government's getting into it and getting all these kids sitting there thinking, oh, maybe I'm not supposed to be a boy, or maybe I'm not supposed to be a girl. And it's causing all kinds of problems.
Well, there is no doubt as to what we need to do now. What we need to do now is batten down the hatches and get ready to be prepared for the storm of the fanatic lunatics who are going to react very badly to this impending defeat in November, assuming that we have election integrity laws in place or measures to ensure election integrity, and assuming this electoral landslide that I am anticipating. We have to be prepared. We have to prepare ourselves for the fanatical response to it. And at this point, I would hope, metaphorically, we got to be prepared to fire for effect on them when they come out in the open.
Well, you
man,
know,
they're
going to
be out there like a fanatical wave of bonsai suicide troops.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that when it happens, that it happens in a big enough number that they can't cheat out of it.
Well, that's why we got to ensure election integrity laws, and it looks like the Supreme Court is going to rule in a manner as to allow the states who choose to implement it, voter ID and the like, laws that will ensure or go a long way toward ensuring election integrity, particularly with this universal mail-in balloting regime, which was rife for fraud. And what was ironic to me was, now, you got William Barr talking about he didn't see any sign of widespread election fraud. He tells the January 6th committee. And then I watched an interview of him with William Blitzer in 2019 where he speaks of the absolute horrors of universal mail-in balloting and that it was likely to lead to widespread election fraud. That was amazing. Like,
yeah.
Two different people. I mean, you should have seen him going on. He was ready to fight with Wolf Blitzer about it.
Yeah.
He was vociferous in his condemnation of universal absentee balloting.
Well, it's the same thing with Biden. In 79, he was saying a lot of stuff that's happening now was something we had to watch out for because it was going to cause all kinds of problems. Now he's completely turned around and gone the other way, and look at the problems we've got.
Biden has never in his life had a core. He has no ideological center that is principled. He is a man who simply allies himself with whatever he thinks will bring him influence and power. But at least to some extent, when he wasn't senile, he was always stupid, but he wasn't always senile. He was somewhat dynamic when he was younger. At least what he said had a modicum of sanity. But now that he's the senile old goat and he's absolutely a marionette, a mere puppet for the people who run him, he'll say anything they pop into his addled head. Anything.
Yep. Absolutely.
I've never seen a more empty suit in my life. There's nothing there other than corruption and a will of power and influence. Nothing. There's nothing there. There's no center. There's nothing. He's just a tool to be used by the radical left of his party. And not only that, it's not like he's hideously incompetent, which he is, but he's so thoroughly criminally corrupt, instinctively so.
Mm-hmm.
And he's compromised. The Red Chinese are calling in their chips on his ass. That's why he just sold $1 million worth of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to a Chinese Communist Party-connected Chinese oil company. He just sold them a million barrels of oil. He's depleting the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and these guys are on the verge of a war in Europe. That's the reason for it, not to alleviate oil prices, which it doesn't anyway. It's there for our armed forces in case they got to go into a stupid war that idiots like him are likely to pull us into.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just beyond belief witnessing in this country.
Yep. Well, I've actually gone 14 minutes over my show, so this has been great.
Yeah, it's been great, but you know, you got look, man, you got to understand the reason we can talk like this because we are living in the most interesting of times, and it's a damn shame that we are, ain't it?
Yes, but at least I'm still able to do stuff like this, and Vincent can do stuff that he does, and hopefully it continues that we can do this.
We have to. We have to inform people honestly and with the best information that we have, because we have powers in the fifth estate that are determined to prevent the people from knowing the whole truth about everything.
Yep. And we have to fight the demons in our government as hard as we can, and never lose sight of the fact that they're trying to destroy us.
I think they'd like to keep us around as serfs. I don't think they want to completely destroy us. I think they want to do is just end the Constitutional Republic and have oligarchs and serfs, peasants.
And destroy our freedom.
That's what they're aiming for. I think they're looking to end the middle income of this country and have everybody subservient and dependent upon them. That's why they don't want young people to be able to afford houses anymore.
Yeah, and that's getting there, that's for sure. I remember when I first moved here to Albuquerque, my dad bought a house, and I think he paid $27,000 for it, and I was looking at the price of it. Now it's $146,000.
Oh, yeah.
For that same house.
The value of my house has gone up about 45% since I moved here in 2008.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not at all pleased by it because it reflects other things that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I really am not. It's happened because the young people are just, no wonder there's so much nihilism, like with this crazy bastard Bobby Crimmo. This is all this nihilism is a direct result of the relentless assault upon men and masculinity. Mm-hmm. I mean, masculinity cannot be toxic. It cannot be. Individuals can be toxic. But masculinity itself can never be done. It is simply the state of being male and masculine. That's all masculine.
Yep.
Just like femininity can't be toxic. It's the state of being female and feminine.
Yep.
People, individuals who are masculine and or feminine can be toxic, but not the state itself. Again, this is a class attack on the most universal cultural phenomenon in all human cultural groups, patriarchy. All human groups practically, with maybe one or two minor exceptions, have to one extent or other embrace patriarchy because it was the most efficient way to organize human society before we got into the modern era. That's how it all came about. It made sense. You start to think the fact that women have a limited reproductive window and they've got to make sure that they pick a suitable partner who will help to raise their child to adulthood so it can be self-sufficient. That's basically it. Women's reproductive imperatives created patriarchy. Because, you know, men needed to know that they wouldn't be cuckolded, for one thing. And women needed to know they would be secure in their limited reproductive window, you know, as compared to men, that the partner they chose would be there to help raise their mutual offspring. That's how patriarchy came about.
Yep.
It made sense, especially when people were dying routinely at 30 and 35 years old.
Yeah.
But, you know, we act like, you know, like we've learned something new about human nature. Because we're smarter than they were back in the past. We know more than they do now. I mean, they didn't know about cell phones. They didn't know about TikTok. What do they know? So, you know, I mean, that's why. And what we're seeing, since everything these leftists and progressives are trying to do is a relentless assault upon Western civilization, in particular all civilization, really. They're doing everything they can to undermine every major institution, starting with the family. Family is largely based in patriarchy. The framers of the Constitution were patriarchs. And everything about it is to be undermined. Every single institution is to be undermined. Every one of them. Because then they can create the new world order they want to do. And they got to get rid of the major institutions that stand in the way, because they identified these institutions after the First World War, and they couldn't figure out why the workers of the world, after the slaughter in the trenches of World War I, they couldn't figure out why they didn't all become communists and turn to the worldwide international workers' revolution. They just couldn't figure it out. They said, there are institutions that prevented it. Religion, the family, patriotism, nationalism, the media, academia. We got to seize control of these things. And when we do that, we can remake a new world.
Yep.
And they've been doing it busily ever since. Just about 100 years now. And until very recently, they were on the verge of succeeding.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've gotten so close. And the thing that I've watched since, like, since I started voting, I've noticed that every time the Republicans win, they give in to the Democrats and give them stuff that they want so that hopefully the Democrats will do the same for them when the Democrats win. But it's like when Obama won that first time, John McCain said, "I'm glad this is over. Now we can get together and work for the country." And Obama said, "No, John, I won. You lost. It's going my way." And that's how the Democrats work.
Yeah, you got to understand that embracing Hegelian dialectics is a key tool in the progressives and the Marxist utility belt. I mean, you know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And that's how they advance their goals. You know, a little bit at a time, you know, get whatever you can until they figure it's time to break out in the general revolution. And they were just on the verge of doing it. When all of a sudden all these parents and whatnot began to see what their children are being taught in the schools, we began to see what environment or the Green New Deal can have to rot and what the elections were doing. All of this stuff just burst out all of a sudden. People began to realize what was being done to them. And I think now we have a real chance of beginning to roll it back.
Yeah. I totally agree. And actually, that kind of makes this time really interesting to see if we actually do it.
Well, therein lies the key. Again, we need people with backbones. And remember, courage is always in short supply. That's why we value it so highly.
Yep.
And but we, and right we now, need, we need people courageous and resolute.
Yep. And people who will actually be not afraid to say what needs to be said when it needs to be said.
We need Donald John Trumps. We need Marjorie Taylor Greene. We need Lauren Boebert's. We need Jim Jordan's. We need Jim Banks. We need a whole host of other Candace Owens and Larry Elders. And you name it. This new woman just got elected down here in Texas. I forget her name.
Maya something, yeah.
We need all these people like that who are not afraid to tell the truth and who are not afraid to buck the tide, not being afraid to be called names. And that takes courage. And if we get them, we can maybe turn some of this stuff back.
And I've got a friend down in Southern California right now who is making a living now at teaching the Constitution. And he's in California.
Well, I hope they teach you, man. And you can kind of sum up the Constitution in one or two sentences. I gave you a more detailed explanation not too long ago. But basically, all you got to do is tell people the Constitution is a limit on authority, not a grant. That's the whole point of it. The point of the Constitution was to limit consolidated power. That's why we got federalism. That's why it's so spread out. That's why we got checks and balances. That's why we got separation of powers. The whole point of the Constitution is not to consolidate power. If you notice, everything the progressives do is a greater consolidation of power at the federal level. Our Constitution is intended to prevent that, to give the federal government a few enumerated powers and leave everything else to the various states.
Yep.
And you teach them that, they'll basically, if they understand that, they'll basically get the gist of what the Constitution was intended to do.
And that's what one of the things I talk with Doug about is because his name's Douglas V. Gibbs. He teaches the Constitution. He teaches all the way up into Montana, and he's thinking about coming into Albuquerque soon. And it'll be great to see him because I've never met him. Him and I have been friends on the internet since 2005, I think, something like that.
Well, I know. Like, when I tell people that the Constitution is a limit on authority, not a grant, they just can't grasp it.
Yeah, it's a lot of people just don't understand that one.
They just can't get it. They say, well, why shouldn't they? I mean, we need the Constitution to fix X, Y, and Z. We need the federal government, rather, to fix X, Y, and Z. I said, well, but the manner in which you want the federal government to do it exceeds, number one, their authority, and number two, will take away the power of the people who are most likely to be able to affect it at the locus, at the level closest to the people who are directly involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't seem to get it. You're negating what made this country the greatest nation in the history of mankind.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the Democrats...
You're thinking of doing something good because there's a problem that you want some king to wave a magic wand and eat it into being.
Mm-hmm.
They really do want kings. They actually want kings. They want somebody who just is going to be, but unfortunately, King Solomon we're not likely to get with this bunch.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I got to bring my show to an end. I'm at 2.5 hours now, so.
Oh, man, you better get out of here, man. You go get some sleep.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's been great talking to you. I've been so busy with other things, I can't get around to catch a show. But I'm going to try to catch it more often so we can have more discussions like this or anything because I really enjoyed it. And, you know, there's a lot more to talk about.
Oh, gosh. It seems like when I first started doing this show, it seemed like 2 hours. It took a lot to come up with 2 hours. Now I just don't even plan for it. I just open up a couple of windows and there's the news. And I've got stuff to talk about for the whole for the whole show.
Again, remember, we are living in interesting times, and that ain't necessarily a blessing.
Yep, that's for sure.
But there's something interesting happening every single day, almost on the hour.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I am glad you called. And Bianchi, too, I'm glad he called.
Hell yeah. Bianchi's always great, man. Bianchi, he don't take no prisoners. He's ruthless.
Yeah, and I usually listen to both of you guys on Vincent's show. So.
Oh, yeah. We love to chase them fruit bats. So we got fruit bat nets. We can run around chasing them and hauling them fruit bats. And we're making a fruit bat collection. I got a whole chest full of stuffed fruit bats.
Yeah, you can come to New Mexico. There's a whole bunch of them here.
Yeah, I bet, man. You got caverns all over the place, don't you? Caves,
yeah.
Caverns.
Yep.
They're
all over.
Like, they're just coming out of like huge flocks of enormous mosquitoes, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Fort Carson, Colorado, and they got a lot of caves up around there, too. And, man,
yeah.
Man, at nighttime, when they come out to feed, boy, this looks like swarms of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I grew up in Colorado, so.
Yeah, you ought to know. There's a lot of bats there, too.
Yep.
It's amazing how well they fly, man. There's a bit better flyers than birds.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I'm glad you called tonight, and this show was probably one of my most enjoyable ones I've had. So this was great. And
well, I enjoyed it as well. And like I said, I'm sure there'll be more because, again, as the Chinese say, when they want to curse you or let you know you've been cursed, we are living in interesting times.
Yep. And God bless you for your service, too, by the way.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. But remember, it's the guys that didn't come back that you should thank the most.
Oh, yeah.
I think about them every single day. I mean, every single day, I think, but only for a moment. I think about some of them every day.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Vietnam was going, I was old enough to go, but they wouldn't let me go because I was on medication to keep me from keep me sane, pretty much. I used to have convulsions, and the medication took care of that. But they wouldn't let me go because of that. So,
look, don't sweat it. And look, everybody doesn't serve anyway. You got to have somebody back to give the guys who are serving the beans and the bullets. That's just about as important as the ones who serve.
Absolutely.
So somebody's got to – everybody can't be in the armed forces. They can't equip it anyway. So the only thing I ask of people is they not condemn the ones who did serve and that they do everything they can to back them up. It doesn't matter to me that somebody didn't serve as long as they're not a draft dodger.
Yeah.
I'm not at all disturbed. I don't say, oh, well, you didn't serve, so you can't speak on X, Y, and Z. If you're an American citizen, you can speak on anything that affects this nation, including things that have to do with military policy, because you're a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the right to expect that that military is going to protect you and ensure your best interests.
Absolutely. But I guess I will get going now, and thank you for calling.
All right, well, I'll do it again, if you don't mind.
Okay. Oh, I don't mind at all. That it makes more for more interesting shows.
Very good. So let's have some. You take care, and I'll talk to you again, I hope. Oh, when's the next show? When's the next show?
Next Friday.
Aye, aye. I got you.
So my shows are usually always on Friday, and then of course there's Vince on Saturday when he'll be back, I think, in August.
Okay.
And then I've got another show that's on Sundays, and his is American by Design, but he hasn't been on for a while, but he's getting ready to retire, so he'll have more time, and he'll probably be starting his back up again too on Sundays. So.
Okay, great. I'll definitely be tuning in. I'll make a note of today because I always never could catch you. Not sure exactly when you're on the same time every time.
Same time, 7 p.m. Eastern time to 9 p.m. Or actually from my time, it's at 5. It's at 7 p.m., but it's listed as 9 p.m. Eastern. So Mountain time, it's 7 p.m. Pacific time, it's 6. And Central, it's 8, I think, something like that. But it's always at the same time.
Roger that. Okay, I got you.
Okay. And God bless you, and have yourself a great weekend.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Awesome. That was great. Now I'm going to go ahead and play a couple of ads that I was going to play before, but... one of the things that I had said to him was that we haven't had a Republican or a conservative person on the Supreme Court here in New Mexico in a while, and this is one that's running. In these uncertain times, rising gas prices, inflation, and crime out of control, people look to the courts for balance and stability. Sadly, there is little of those things in our courts today. Kerry Morris brings to the New Mexico Supreme Court 40-plus years of experience, including being an assistant district attorney for the Bernalillo County District Attorney's Office and representing thousands of individuals in his private practice. Kerry understands the issues facing most people and the need for a Supreme Court that is equipped with the experience to address the issues presented in cases that come before it, with a balanced consideration of the rights and interests of the parties and all concerned, with a court that is willing to uphold the Constitution and prepared to look at all sides of an issue before rendering what may be a far-reaching decision that affects the lives of all who live in the state of New Mexico. Vote for Kerry J. Morris for New Mexico Supreme Court. He will bring the experience and balance to the court that this state needs. He cares about justice and will always put justice before politics. Paid for by the 2022 committee to elect Kerry J. Morris to the New Mexico Supreme Court with Clara Cates, treasurer. Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless. Okay, we are back. One of the things that we did tonight, we kind of had a couple of people who usually are call in to Vincent's show, Black by Color Only. And I was honored to have both of them on my show tonight, which was really cool. But I went way over my time, which is actually not too awful bad. I've always thought about doing a three-hour show, and one of these days I'm going to have to start doing that. But we are in the process of it's getting kind of late here right now, so I'm going to go ahead and end the show. God bless you all, and God bless America, man. We've got to keep the condition of this nation not the way that the Democrats want it, not the way that the Rhino Republicans want it. We need to start following the Constitution, start following the laws, start realizing that we don't need more gun laws, because all that is just the government trying to take your guns away. We need to start enforcing the laws that are already on the books, and maybe even take a whole bunch of them off because they're not needed. They're just redundant, and they keep repeating the same things that other laws are already there for. So the Constitution serves us well if we just follow it. God bless you all. God bless our troops. And I'll see you next week. God bless you all. God bless you all.